Hey everybody, welcome to the Real and Raw podcast, a conversation with a couple of religious rebels. I'm Carrie Jo and I'm here with Anna, and today we are going to discuss the topic to share or not to share. Anna, welcome and thanks for joining for this part one of two podcast.
Hi, Carrie Jo, good to be here.
Yeah, so we're just all, like always, going to jump right into it. We have four questions we're going to talk about today, and then the next time we'll go through three or four more questions relating to share or not to share. And I guess to be more specific, what we're talking about is to share or not to share about your deconstruction journey, your spiritual rethinking, all of the evolution of who you are becoming. So the first question, at what point in your journey did you realize there was a conversation that needed to be initiated? For me, it was different with different people. Like I had a mentor for, almost two decades, and we talked nearly every week for those two decades with, some blips here and there. A big part of that, well, actually the whole crux of that relationship was discipleship and sharing about our spiritual journeys. And it became clear to me earlier on in that relationship that I no longer jive with some of the stuff that she's saying or beliefs that she's holding. And I think that was kind of the real eye opener for me that something was shifting internally. And I didn't say anything real deliberate about it. I just kind of let it continue to work within me. I let these changes take place. I just kind of let the rumination continue, because I wouldn't have said I even had a frame of reference for what was happening at that time. It was very subtle shifts taking place.
Right.
But it was earlier on in that relationship that I was like, okay, this is not working anymore. She's coming from a place of biblical inerrancy and literalism. And I had let go of that some time ago, and it just was difficult to have a conversation when you're not coming from the same place and use of the Bible. So for me, in that mentor-mentee relationship, it was earlier on in my deconstruction process that I actually had a conversation and shared with her things that were shifting. Now, if I think about my relationship with my husband, I would say the conversation happened much later than that, just because we weren't weekly talking about, my spiritual evolution and things. And I didn't really have a lot to articulate either. I couldn't really put my finger on what was happening. So I just didn't really bring it up until I finally, after 3 or 4 years of really digging and trying to figure out what air quotes, God's stance was on the LGBTQIA plus community. And when I just finally realized that this is not a sinful way of life, this is just a spectrum of the beautiful colors that exist within humanity, I knew where my husband stood on that. He's all about loving the individual, but he also believed that at that time that that lifestyle was sinful. And so I knew that we were in different spots on that. And it made me nervous because I thought, oh, geez, here's the first step away, right? The first step off the same path. And so I was really nervous, but I finally, when I was able to articulate it, I brought it up with him. And I said, babe, I'm a little nervous and concerned because this is where I've landed on this. And I know that you're not there. You're not in that same place. And I'm just worried that we're going to grow apart. And this is, gonna ruin things basically. And he's like the coolest human I know. He always says the exact right thing that I need to hear, that that is so like level-headed. And he said, well, why is that a deal breaker? Why does that have to be a deal breaker? I don't think we've ever agreed on everything theologically. So that, who cares if you believe that and I believe this? And I was like, oh my gosh, okay, cool. So that created a really safe space for me to continue to share with him what's happening in my journey. And that's a different podcast episode too, how we've journeyed similarly but differently together. But I think, yeah, the point of sharing was different even with my parents too. It was a different point in time that I felt comfortable or like it would be a safe time to share. Or yeah, So I guess that's my answer. What about you, Anna?
I'm curious. I feel like, or I'm wondering too, like you, I guess felt that it was just the timing was right in your gut. That's my question.
Yeah. Okay. So again, I guess that's different. It's kind of a case by case basis.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Steven, I don't know, something maybe came up naturally in our conversation as we're walking the dog around the neighborhood. That's when we kind of debrief every night. We talk to each other and, it just came up naturally. And I just expressed, you know, how I was feeling, like really nervous and apprehensive about that. And, so that just kind of organically manifested. Now with my mentor, I hemmed and hawed and wrung my hands for months on how do I share this? When do I share this? Because I kind of knew somehow in my gut that it was going to be the end of something. Mm-hmm. And that was really hard because it's still hard. I mean, she was like a second mother to me and sacrificed for me and prayed like countless hours for me. You know, it's just, it was a really tough, tough thing to do because I knew what would ensue following that conversation.
Right.
I don't know how I knew, but it's just like somehow, I don't know, like my psyche just knew.
Sure.
And it did. It did kind of unfold that way. And it's the way it needed to happen. It's fine. Like, I'm okay with it most days. Some days it's still really painful. But I think it depends on your dynamic, honestly, with the mm-hmm. person that you're sharing.
Yeah, I think that that's the way it's been for me too. It's just kind of been on a case by case basis. A lot of the choice to share is when the it seemed like it had to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a shift in so much in me enough to where I felt like I was gonna have to pretend if I didn't share. That seemed yes. to be like this guiding gauge, I guess, that helped me know when it was right, because I don't want to pretend. I can still be myself in quite a few relationships that I still have that are more like acquaintances, really, that don't really know where I'm at spiritually. And I can still walk the fine line. Because it's not discussed, the subject doesn't come up enough for it to really matter.
Right.
But I don't feel like it's absolutely necessary or pertinent to our relationship for the other person to know, you know?
Yeah.
But with the more important relationships in my life, I felt like at this point where I felt like I needed, if I felt like I had to pretend at any point, that was a good indication that I need to strongly start considering when and how I'm going to go about sharing.
Yes. Yeah. And I would echo that. That's exactly what happened with me and my mentor. It just got to be a real like struggle in the conversation. I just didn't agree with a lot of what she was saying and it felt inauthentic and I don't do that. Not very well anyway.
Right.
And yeah, that was what I kept wrestling with. I'm like, I can't continue to pretend to be something I'm not. I just can't. It's not healthy for one, for me.
Sure.
And it was just not helpful to the presumed relationship that we had anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really hard because I've shared with you before, there is still some people in my life that I have not shared with, people that I need to share with at some point, probably. But the timing for them is really important. And that brings us to the next question, actually, if you're ready to move on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So what type of cost risk analysis did I use to determine if we would share? And for me, it was how much pain am I going to be causing? The cost was the suffering that was going to be in that the perceived suffering that I might be causing and the other person, was determined the risk factor for me, whether or not it was worth it had a lot to do with how I thought the other person was going to internalize and also process my journey in their mind. You know, obviously within Christianity, yeah, there's a lot of fear with that the person is going to go to hell and that they're condemned, that they're going down the wrong path, or that they're going to influence other people or even their children to do the wrong things or to start making bad choices, or that their families are going to fall apart. There's all this worry that comes along with walking away from the Bible in the way that I have and you have, and we still are figuring out what that looks like. I think the big thing for me was just how much suffering is this going to cause?
And can I ask, is that specifically to the other person you're sharing with, or was that at all in relationship to what you would experience?
That's a really good question. Mostly has to do with the other person.
Okay.
For me, it's mostly has to do with how much suffering are they going to put themselves through, worrying about and toiling over what's going to happen, what my fate will be.
Yeah.
And yes, I definitely consider the suffering that I might have to go through in trying to help them understand, you know,
right,
because it seems like in some cases that I have in my life that it's probably going to be impossible for them to ever get to a point where they can truly understand where I'm, or even briefly, just partially understand where I'm coming from, you know?
Right.
So that position, that, and also with it, the position of being in on the defense, if you will, you know, I don't really want to take that position. Like, I'm willing to answer questions, but you know how it is. And I know you've experienced this too, where a lot of questions are just loaded, you know, they're not genuine desire to empathize or understand. And they're just setting you up in a way, you know, to
I've had lots of experiences with that for sure.
Yeah, so that definitely, and I would love to hear your cost risk analysis, but that's kind of where I have come from.
I would say I have some similarities to you. Cost risk, I think I, especially with my mentor, you know, I knew what the cost was going to be, and it was not an easy decision to come to, but at the same time, there was also cost and risk for myself, not just for the relationship. Because I didn't like having to like basically lie about being in agreement, on things with her. And it's not healthy. It's not psychologically healthy for anyone to pretend to be somebody they're not,
right,
which looking back on my experience is a lot of the Christian experience.
Sure.
And yeah, that's another topic to unpack. But, so again, I would say it's case by case for me. The cost risk was different with my mentor than it was with my husband, Steven, because, you know, I didn't feel like in a good way, there wasn't a choice to make as far as sharing with him. Like, I share everything with him. So I knew I wanted to share it. It was just, it just happened to come up. And then we continue to this day, we just keep talking about our process together.
Mm-hmm.
So that felt much more natural. And I didn't feel like I was going to risk or lose anything really, except for maybe a few tears, you know, just, processing that together and out loud. Mm-hmm. It feels risky. It does, like it always does. It feels risky to be vulnerable. But that was that was very different from the mentor situation. But like even with family, like with my parents, they are very safe people. Mm-hmm. And I felt really safe just kind of dropping seeds. I didn't want to give kind of the whole picture away, because I didn't want them to freak out, you know, about right, all the different things I was debunking in my head and like letting go of. And in fact, it led to an interesting conversation at one point where I was sharing some different posts on Facebook of another person that I follow. And I was really resonating with what he was saying. And I got a phone call, or I think maybe I called them. I don't know. We talk pretty frequently, my parents and I. And we were talking, and then toward the end of the conversation, it was actually really in and out. Like I must have been on a really sketchy part for service. And they started to say something, we had to restart, and then I started to say something, and they're like, no, we can't hear you, honey. And it was just like such an awkward thing anyway. But basically, like, I was being asked, like, well, do you still believe Jesus died for your sins? And I'm like, I didn't even want to answer that, because I knew that what my truthful answer was in that moment was not going to satisfy their worries and concerns.
Right.
And so, like, yeah, I've had some interesting, difficult conversations like that, but I think it really depends on the quality of your relationship with the people.
It really does.
And I'm happy to report that the conversation with my parents, I was able to email them because I was headed to an appointment. I couldn't call back right away. I emailed them, you know, how I was feeling about things. And I think that was like satisfying. That response was satisfying. And I was able to be true to myself and my own beliefs. And so there was no cost there, thankfully, but it didn't have to go that way. And certain relationships, you know, won't go the way that we would prefer. But I don't know, like, it's a tough question, because I feel like the cost and risk it's variable based on what do you have to lose. You know, like with my parents, there's a lot to lose. With my husband, there's a lot to lose. With somebody that I just know, like, randomly from church I attended, you know, 15 years ago, you know, like, I'm not in their life anymore. There's not so much to lose there.
Right.
But I do relate, Anna, to what you were saying about being on the defensive. And I've actually had to be really intentional with people. Like, when people come into my DMs and text and whatever, ask me questions, it does feel like a setup oftentimes.
Right.
And so I'm just really clear about my intentions. Like, I'm happy to answer your questions. Like, if you're curious, cool, I'll share, but I will not defend my new beliefs. Mm-hmm. That's not my role in your life. And I refuse to play that. So, like, you know, it's, and I've had interesting responses to that, various responses to that as well.
Yeah. I've had, with the people that I have shared, I've had various responses as well. And it's with some people that I used to be really close with, they're not interested at all in my spiritual life anymore. And that kind of saddens me, because I feel like it's still valid.
And, yeah, that sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wait a minute. I thought we... And a few people in particular have just stopped asking altogether about my spiritual life. And so I think that's just hard. It's just hard to hear that people, or to see that people only really are interested in your life when you believe the same things they do.
Right. And then how unhealthy is that too?
Right.
It's just, it is set up for losing relationships unnecessarily, because the whole Christian faith is basically predicated by, you know, you share these same beliefs, and that's what binds us together, brothers and sisters in Christ, right? I mean, we use that phrase, but we really mean brothers and sisters in doctrinal belief.
Right.
And as soon as you veer away from that expected belief system, it's like, oh, well, we no longer hold space for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the opposite of what Jesus came to teach. And it's so sad. It's so sad that that's the way it goes.
I think it's in part largely to do with, well, first of all, that idea that we're supposed to be equally yoked, you know, with people around us, and that when other people believe something different, there's a threat there to your thoughts, to your ideas, you know, that everybody's always supposed to be cautious with anybody that thinks differently than them. And I think that's that permeates religion in general, any religion really, not just Christianity. So in that thinking, though, it keeps us from really genuine empathy. And you think about the works of Christ and more, you think of him, everybody mostly thinks of Jesus as being the most empathetic, right? Which in reality, if you look at some of the details of his works in his story, they actually aren't, but that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, exactly. But, we have material for days.
I know, right? I mean, I was just reading about the story the other day of him, and the woman that came to him and asked for him to heal her daughter. And he basically told her that basically she wasn't a Jew and to go away. And she was like, wait, don't even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table? And that's when he was basically said, you know, because of your faith, she's healed. And, yeah. But initially his response was, go away.
Right.
And so
she calls him out on it. And then Jesus is like, oh shit, she's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's like there's an example there for the church to say to the people that don't believe what they believe, go away. And right. I don't know that there's a direct link, but there's a thread within Christianity that speaks of, in this direction. And so I think it's sad. And unfortunately, it's also created a lot of other walls, not just with non-Christians, but anybody that doesn't line up exactly with whether it's gun rights or homophobia or even denominational, you know?
Right, right. It's an us versus them dichotomy that's being created.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, it's interesting because like within Christianity, we're taught to defend our faith, right? I mean, always be prepared to have an answer. Right. I mean, that's like a scripture that's cherry picked and used all the time mm-hmm. for this systematic theology that we are taught. And I've actually, this brings us to our third question. Is there one instance in particular that stands out to you where you wish you had done the opposite, like share or not share? Mm-hmm. So I will now share about my instance with that. So I agreed to have coffee with somebody. And okay, spoiler alert to anyone who hasn't totally deconstructed and come out about it yet. If anybody from your evangelical days says, hey, I'd love to get coffee and catch up and hear more about your story, just assume the worst, okay? And if it turns out the other way, cool. Because I'm just telling you from personal experience, it's probably not gonna be pretty. Mm-hmm. So I agreed. I knew what I was in for though. Like I knew it. I wanted to give the benefit of the doubt. Because that's just how I am. I want to believe the best about people. And I'm an idealist. I think everything's going to go the right way, the way that it should all the time. And that's on me. But I agreed to go. We met for coffee. And it was, for the most part, it was okay. Like, it was cordial. It was friendly. There was no, like, heated argument that ensued. But I felt on trial. Mm-hmm. And again, like, I knowingly walked into that. But looking back on that, I don't know. It's hard. I'm not one with a lot of regret. So I don't look at things and say, oh man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Or that was so stupid that if I could go back in time, I'd erase that. I don't generally think that way. So maybe assuming that let's just say I am that way, I'll answer the question and say, I wish I wouldn't have had coffee, even mm-hmm. though that's not true. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like what I was able to share with this person, who knows what seeds were planted, right? Like, who knows how eyes were opened? Who knows how things will sit on the back burner unbeknownst to them? And later down the road, they will recall that conversation and be like, oh my gosh, I remember Carrie Jo saying that. You know, it could be part of their deconstruction journey. I don't know. That was kind of the reason I agreed to go in the first place. Because I thought, you know what? I had conversations like that with people. And I know that those conversations were recalled in my mind. And served to push me to be bold and to walk into that deconstruction space. So, yeah, I refused to defend my new beliefs. And I was asked some tough questions. I was asked, would you still say you're a Christian? Mm-hmm. And that's the most loaded question ever.
Right.
And so whenever people ask me that, which has been a lot lately for obvious reasons, but I just say, well, it depends on what your definition of a Christian is, because it just comes with a whole lot of baggage these days. And I definitely don't tick the boxes of what a stereotypical Christian would be described as. So I don't like to be identified by that label. So I guess that is an instance where if I was a person with regrets, I would say I would have said no to that coffee date.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
But I obviously would, like, I wouldn't, because I love her and I'm glad we could connect and I'm glad she could hear my story. So, you know, there's a little caveat there.
Definitely. Definitely. I think, would you say that you might go into the conversation a little differently, thinking a little differently?
I think so. I mean, just even after having that experience, knowing that people's intentions are pure, like I think they genuinely do want to hear the story. I think they genuinely are curious, but it's like they're a victim of the system. And so once they hear something that strikes their ears that doesn't fall in line with what they believe and what they think you should believe as a Christian, like once that happens, that defensive mode pops up in their heads and hearts. Mm-hmm. And then it turns into something different than intended. And you know, I don't fault anybody for that within the evangelical system, because it is a system and that's how the people are programmed within it. And I know that, I relate to that. I was that 5 years ago, you know?
Sure.
So it gives me a lot of compassion and grace just to accept people where they're at, in regards to being defensive and feeling like they have to defend the gospel, even though it doesn't need defending and the gospel is not what they actually think it is. And, you know, blah, 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 all these different points of contention. I think now that it was experienced, and now I won't enter another coffee date with the same assumptions I did with that one. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer of learning from every experience, whether good or bad. Glean whatever you can and use it moving forward. So yeah, I would approach the conversation differently.
Yeah. I don't know that I have a specific situation that comes to mind, so we're going to just move on to the next question.
Yeah, great.
Cool. And it's a good one. I think both of us will probably have good answers to this one. Tell us some responses we've had when we've decided to share. And you can probably speak to this more because you've been more vocal online about your journey. But I'll start just briefly. The people that I've chosen to share with are people that I felt, first of all, deserved to hear my story, and people that I didn't want to be fake with. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be fake with anybody, but people that I felt like because of the depth of the relationship and the things that we choose to talk about, it was going to require me to either evade or pretend. And I didn't want to do those things. I don't have to do that with every relationship, but the ones that I have chosen to share, most of them have been really good, honestly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Most of them have been really good. The only downside I would say is that most of them are Christians and most of them have chosen not to continue to be interested in my spiritual life after the fact. So, yeah. I think that we've talked a lot about why that would be. And I think there's a fear of not knowing how to, you know, or how could you have a spiritual life maybe without, these are all speculations. Of course, I speculate because I want to understand, but, I've been thinking lately about asking a friend of mine who I love dearly. And I ask her about her spiritual life, even though, she is still very much a believer in the scriptures. And, but I want to know what's going on in her life and I want to hear, but she doesn't do the same. And so I thought about asking her, like, are you afraid to ask me questions? You know?
Yeah.
And if you are, let me just open it up by saying you could literally ask me anything, you know, maybe just like being really honest about what I'm thinking about that would be helpful.
Yeah. I think that's a great approach to it.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me she's not feeling that too. You know, when she gets asked the question by you, I mean, that's kind of a reciprocal question to ask in general.
Right.
So I think it sounds like she's, you know, making a conscious choice to not ask you. Maybe she feels like you don't want to talk about it. I don't know. That'll be an interesting conversation. I'd love to hear the update on how that goes.
I'll definitely let you know. I think the most of it is fear of not wanting to hear, like knowing that I'm a well-adjusted smart adult. You know,
right.
Like I think she's just afraid of hearing the things that I have to say because it's going to mean that she has to face them as well.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? There is this, I've found that too. There's this general kind of underlying fear of kind of wanting to know what you think, but not wanting to know, because then once they know, they can't unknow that. And they can't go back to their cushy, comfortable box, prison cell, whatever you want to call it, prison cell of beliefs is kind of what I view it as now. It just doesn't work anymore once you start pulling that apart. And I get it. I get it. It's a fearful thing. It's a uprooting, chaotic, discombobulating experience. And yeah, nobody really chooses to go that route. It just kind of happens to you. So I feel like, they think, oh, well, they can choose not to do that. I mean, I think that's the basic understanding within evangelical systems, that deconstruction is a choice. Like you chose to deconstruct your faith. Well, no, deconstruction chose me. That's just kind of how it worked. I didn't sign up for this. Like I would not have signed up for it if I knew what it was going to cost me. But here I am, and I'm better for it, and I'm grateful that it happened to me. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough to navigate that with people who have a very different understanding of deconstruction than what it actually is.
I want to be vulnerable and honest with everybody I meet. But also too, not everybody wants to talk about those really deep places in our lives, you know? And so we kind of gauge, I kind of gauge on, how deep does this person want to go with me? But the ones that I used to go deeper with, that's the ones that hurt. And because like now I feel like our relationships are more shallow. And that's part of the reason why I chose to do the podcast. And the part of the reason why I chose to reach out to you was, I do have a few long distance relationships with people that I know I can be fully myself, and they are interested in my life, empathetic, ask good questions. There's people I can lean on and truly, truly be myself, and they care deeply about me, and I care deeply about them, about every part of ourselves, not just certain parts that are comfortable, And that's part of the reason why I'm doing this, because I feel like it's really important for parts of our story to be shared. I think it's whatever is useful for the listener, whatever connects with them and helps them just make it another day or two, whatever, doing whatever they're doing to do what's best for them. Hopefully they'll just feel a little less alone, and maybe even feel like they can tell a friend or reach out to someone that cares about them, or hopefully it'll inspire some people to just know that everything's going to be okay, even if it doesn't, even if it's not okay.
I know that. That's why I was so excited about doing the podcast with you too, is because I wish I would have had something like this to listen to. I wish I could have heard stories of people deconstructing in real time, like hear about the messiness of it. Hear. This or that or the other. It like is multiplied for people who are watching this, witnessing this. Yeah, and that's actually like I'll answer this question too. Some responses I've received when I've decided to share. So, like you said, I've been more public online about my experience, and woo, I mean, Facebook is a toxic place. I think we all know that. We've all at least witnessed that, if not firsthand experienced it. And I've received some very interesting responses, mostly from people that I knew, whether I served with them on the field as missionaries or whether I went through some kind of pre-field missionary training with. I've received some really nasty, nasty responses. But again, it's like when I share about my newfound beliefs, it rattles their cage, quite literally. And that's okay. I just need to let them have their response. And I'm not responsible for how they respond to what I'm sharing. So I have to remind myself on those days where I share something hard and I get some backlash, you know, again, the grace and compassion of understanding where they're coming from and realizing they're a victim of the system and realizing that they're fearful for themselves and for me potentially. And I actually, my therapist told me, she's like, if you're going to continue sharing online, that's great, but you need to come up with a system that you can filter people's responses through to make sense of the nasty things that you're hearing. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did. I wrote a list, and those are some of the things that I just shared. Like, they're fearful, they're a victim of the system. Sometimes they just want to be combative. You know, that's obviously some people's MO, but for the most part, that's not it. It's just they feel threatened, and that's okay. But, you know, not all responses have been negative. I would say the vast majority, specifically from online sharing, has been so supportive and so encouraging, and like so many people raising their hands and saying, oh my gosh, me too. Mm-hmm. In fact, many former missionaries have reached out to me that I served on the field with and said, wow, thank you for going public with this, because I would have had no idea that you were in the same spot as me. Like, I'm so glad to know that it's not just me. Wow. And that's kind of like the resounding theme, that people feel isolated, lonely. They feel like they're going crazy. They feel like, I mean, it's such a chaotic time of disruption in your whole foundational belief system. So like overwhelmingly the responses have been positive, which I'm so grateful for, because what is it like? It takes 7 positive things to negate the 1 negative thing or something. I feel like it's been pretty much that way, because I feel encouraged enough to keep sharing, and you know, you get desensitized after so many things. So like that's happening too, in a good way, like developing some thicker skin and really being more equipped to respond, mm-hmm. or not, you know, to decide, does this warrant a response from me or not? Are they trying to, you know, poke the bear? What are they trying to get here?
Right.
Yeah.
You can probably tell pretty early on, maybe even by the first question or statement from someone, what direction they're going with it, huh?
Depending on how it's worded, yeah. And I think also it depends on my relationship with them.
Right.
And, you know, how I understand them to be. I mean, some people just are more direct and they ask really direct questions and they don't mean anything abrasive by it. And so, you know, you take all those things into consideration. And yeah, I can kind of tell when a trap is being set. And so I'm just really careful to sidestep that, and I'll ask a question in response rather than answering their question. And if they genuinely are curious, they will continue to pursue and, you know, ask it maybe in a different way, or be kind to backpedal a little bit and then ask their question. But if they really want just, you know, a fisticuffs, then it just, like, it becomes really obvious. And I've had to kind of just create, like, I don't know, my own little litmus test, just understanding what is the actual goal here with this question or with this interaction. And sometimes I get it wrong, and you know, that's okay too. And if I do get it wrong, I'm really quick to apologize. Like, I don't want to assume things wrongfully, for sure. And so, like, I just try to clarify before I answer so that I'm not assuming something harmful.
Sure.
And I don't get that right all the time either, but yeah, we do our best, right? We try to create safe spaces, and sometimes it gets ugly. Sometimes it turns out to be exquisitely beautiful.
Right. You never know when those exquisitely beautiful things are going to happen until you take a chance.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'll say, maybe we should have shared at the beginning of the podcast, but Carrie Jo and I have taken, we're at different places in our sharing processes. Carrie Jo's been very vocal on social media lately, and has invited pretty, you know, a lot of information from other people have come at you, over the last, what, month or so, maybe 2.
Yeah, I think I just looked, my first post was like the end of July. So like a couple months ago. Yeah.
And so that's been very interesting to watch. Sometimes I'm not on social media very much right now, and so sometimes I'll just go just to see what Carrie Jo posted.
What kind of shit storm has opened up?
But me, on the other hand, like, I've not been very vulnerable. I was at one point in my Christian walk, but I've just remove myself more and more from social media. And I do share a little bit about my family life on there, but the people that I've chosen to share, I think part of the reason why it's been mostly positive is because I think the people that I've chosen to share, I thought they were ready for it. And yeah. For one reason or another, and or maybe not ready, but they were at a point where I felt like I could share and they were going to understand why a little bit easier. Like they know me well enough to know that I'm not just like flippantly making these decisions, you know?
Right. And right. They would hold space for you.
Right. Right. So I've been very selective in who I've done that with, even though I've been also very eager to share. There's a couple of family members that we've talked to that I wasn't sure about, but I think that I just knew that they knew me well enough to know that it, and it starts, like you were saying earlier, like a seed. You just talk, you share like one thing, like, hey, I've been really challenging the idea of hell lately. What do you think about that? You know?
Yes.
And
yeah.
It just opens a conversation. And it's not like, hey, by the way, I totally denounced my faith in the scriptures and Jesus the other day.
You know? Right. Right. It's not a bomb that drops very gracefully.
No, you kind of like put your toe in the water, you know, you don't do a cannonball, you know?
Right.
That I think is helpful. I think that's just a really good rule of thumb in general, you know, with most people's journey is just feel it out, because not everybody deserves to hear everything, you know?
Exactly.
I think that's been huge for me. It's like, who are the people in my life that I genuinely want to maintain a connection, but deep connection with? And depending on the degree of connection that we already have would determine how much I was willing to share and how deep I was willing to go with my journey.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you bring up some really healthy, what do I say, kind of filters, I guess, to use mm-hmm. on whether you share or not, or how much. Sometimes the slow drip approach is the most appropriate. Mm-hmm. And I would say with most face-to-face relationships, that's going to be maybe the easiest way, is just kind of a slow drip approach. Yeah. But when you start posting stuff online, like I really hadn't been active at all. Not posting, like I would consume, but I wouldn't post anything for several years. And I just out of the blue decided to blammo, basically drop the bomb. And so that's a lot why I'm getting a lot of pushback from my former missionary friends, because, you know, we're not in each other's lives anymore. And they remember me from 5 years ago. And so this looks like a huge drastic thing, even though it's not. It's been a very long, slow, intentional thing. So yeah, based on it, like, what people know about you at any given time might help determine too how much you share. Or maybe you just don't give an F anymore and you just say like, look, this is where I'm at. If you like it, great, let's keep going. If not, cool. Like, thanks for the season of friendship.
Right.
And that's way easier said than done, of course. But yeah, it's tricky, it's complicated, it's messy. Yeah, none of it's perfect.
Carrie Jo did a cannonball on social media.
I totally did. and the like splash is still reverberating around the world. So
and for those of you who are listening that are Christians who are possibly deconstructing, you and you have friends and family that you're thinking about that you and wondering what their responses are going to be, you could probably just imagine the onslaught, you know, that you would get if you just all of a sudden shared that you no longer believe the same things you used to. And it's definitely, I think, a commendable, Carrie, that you were so brave to do it in such a way. And I think it's pretty awesome that you've been able to navigate the ups and downs of it so graciously and learning from all of it. And just, you've done it really well. I really commend you. It's beautiful to watch. And not my process and not my way of doing it, but I really appreciate it. And I really, I've actually learned a lot from watching you.
Oh, thank you, Anna. That's so kind.
Yeah.
I'm honest when I say, like, I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't know. I'm just sharing. I've told people, I don't know any other way. I don't know any other way than to be fully me, authentically me. And, you know, if that creates ripples, then Yeehaw, cannonball away. So thank you. I appreciate that encouragement. And it's really the reason I keep doing it, I keep subjecting myself to the onslaught of abuse and defensiveness is not for those people. It's not for those people coming at me. It's for the people who are thankful, for the people who are gleaning and learning something about themselves from me sharing my journey. I think, you know, we're a community. That's just how the human psyche works. We are communal. We need each other. And when you feel so lonely, it just, that's not how we were made to operate. And so if I can be a little spark of hope to anybody in their deconstruction journey, that then, you know, it's all worth it.
Definitely. Definitely. I've had dreams about opening a community center for the, I don't know, for the deconstructed anyway.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
It wouldn't have to be, it could just be like the secular community center.
Yes.
Like a church for the secular, if you will.
I love that.
Yeah, there's actually a church down the street that's for, I told Ricky, like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, we were on a walk and I was like, man, it'd be so cool if that church went up for sale. I'd love to turn it into a community center. And I swear the next week it went up for sale. And I was like,
what?
I know. I'm like, not really sure if I'm ready to buy a church, but it was pretty profound. I was like, but I think I would prefer to buy something in the country, not something in the city. I think, yeah, I would like for it to be a place where people could get away rather than,
right, and like connect with nature and, yeah.
But I don't know, we are looking at land right now too. Maybe one day, who knows.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, keep us updated on that journey.
Yeah, but the library, there's really great community centers, there's an art community. I mean, there're tons of ways that we can do that. And that was something that I struggled with how to understand how to stay in community after I started sharing this with people, because, you know, we lost our church, and this
right.
might be this a subject for a completely different podcast, which it probably is. So maybe we should write that on the list, how to do community from here.
Yeah. And maybe I'll have an answer by then. Because right now I don't, I still don't really have a community, and that is painful.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just having faith in the process that it takes time to find your people, mm-hmm. and just kind of let, you know, you let those people come into your life and kind of just magically appears. So mm-hmm. yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks for sharing, Carrie Jo.
Yeah. Thank you too. This is a great conversation, and, we'll look forward to doing part two. Mm-hmm. For our next podcast, to share or not to share, and we'll address some more questions, believe it or not. We can talk another 50 minutes about this. So,
yeah.
Oh, and